Bill Belichick. How you doing?
Good, Glenn. Michael, nice Teddy.
How do you like the new studio here?
Nice. Taj Mahal.
We could use some artwork, I think, on the walls. If you could, you know, supply us with
something. If you want to dim the light, go ahead.
there is no light to shut it off. You finally get down to your roster, it seems. Certainly, maybe tweaking it a little bit here or there. Was this a difficult one for you to try to get down to 53, or are they all difficult?
Yeah, well, they're all tough. They're all tough, and especially when you have a lot of players out there competing. You know, we can see the number of guys that have ended up on other teams. We had great competition on the field this year, and we've usually had that. And then guys that really work hard and do everything you ask them to do, it's hard to tell them they can't do it anymore. I mean, that's a tough, you know, it's a tough situation. But we all know when we sign up for it that that's part of the deal. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be a lot of roster movement across the league in the first, you know, couple weeks of the season, like there always is, practice squad, so forth. So. We'll see how it all plays out, but we're getting there.
It seems like such an interesting process because I'm sure you go in, you know Tom Brady's going to make the team, Wolfwerk, Mayo. Do you look at it in terms of, you know, I got 38 guys, I know we're going to make it, and I'm really trying to figure out the final 15. Is it that type of process, or do you just look at it and say, all right, this guy is good, he's got to make it somewhere? How do you figure out how that 53 is going to be constructed?
Well, I think once you get into the training camp, you see that there are certain players in certain groups that you know are going to be part of the team. You see six offensive linemen, or maybe you see eight, or maybe you see four, you know, I don't know, whatever it is. And then you kind of go from there. You know, these guys look like they're definitely part of it. And then, you know, where do you go after that? And who are the next guys? What's the best combination of people together? Special teams plays a big part in it. Injuries and again, part of it's where you think the players will be a couple months from now, where you think they'll be at the end of the year, maybe in some cases where even you think they'll be next year. And that's not overriding, but it's part of the consideration, as are, you know, contracts and medical decisions and the overall composition of your roster. So it's a lot of things. There's no like set formula for it.
I don't know if it happened this year, but in your career, have you seen somebody not make the team in the final week, or make the team with that fourth game? You know, they make a late push and you didn't think they were going to make it, and then at the last minute they did something that caught your eye.
Well, I think you'd have to put Antoine Molden in that category this year. I mean, he wasn't even on the team the day before the last preseason game, and then he played in that game, and now he's on the 53-man roster, so I'd put him in that category. I mean, his name wasn't even on the radar Tuesday of last week.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Bill, I'm going to go off base a little bit right here. All right, last week, all right, a lot of play about Arian Foster tweeting a picture of his MRI. And I know how we used to handle things in the locker room, and you'd always give us great examples of what to do and what not to do. When social media started, the whole My Face, the Facebook type of thing that you would crack us up with talking about all the time, I mean – using the Arian Foster example, how do you control these guys? I know you can't control them off the field, what they do, what they tweet outside the facility, but you used to tell us, as long as you're in the facility, keep it under control. Is that the same type of policy you have with these guys regarding this new social media beast?
I would say so. Yeah, basically, when it involves football, the Patriots, and you know, our program, that's not, you know, it's private, it's family.
So basically, tweeting a picture of an MRI is not what we're looking for, right? With the white edema in the middle of the hamstring.
Yeah. What do you call it?
I wouldn't be looking for that. Yeah.
I would like to hear your reaction if that ever happened with one of your players.
Didn't call it anti-awesome. Anti-awesomeness. Anti-awesomeness, he called it.
I had a situation. This stuff just comes across his desk, guys. Yeah. I'm telling you. You really can't control
there, yeah.
It.
With the Gronkowski family, he's been tweeting all day that Dan is part of the team. So is he part of the team, or are you not going to react to any tweeting that's going on out there?
Yeah, well, whatever announcements we have, Glenn, we'll put them out there.
not tweet.
Tell you, it's not official. Right. It's not official.
And the same goes with Darius Butler, who's also tweeted, hey, see you later. My time in New England was great. Now it's on to the next chapter. Not going to confirm.
No announcements right now, right?
All right, Miami. Bill, Miami, Monday night. New offense coordinator, Brian Daboll. when you have a new offensive coordinator like that, you'll probably go back to past the contest when you went up against him. You've been watching a little bit Cleveland to get reacclimated with some of the things that he attacked you with last year.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's part of the scouting report is what happened in the Cleveland game. And, of course, you know, Coach Sperano is still down there, so a lot of things they do offensively, like their wildcat and things like that, may still very much be a part of the package. But it's a lot to prepare for. As you know, the first game, you go through all last year's stuff, you go through all the preseason stuff, and then you think about all the stuff that they could do that Reggie Bush or whoever it happens to be. And so it's more than they can possibly do. So there's a lot to prepare for.
Yeah, the Reggie Bush type of the element, 0-1 preparing for Marshall Faulk, the chips out of the backfield because he was such a great receiver. Reggie Bush isn't a Marshall Faulk now, but he's somewhat similar challenges. Are those type of elements going to be used in terms of defensive linemen, linebackers, sort of similar to how we handled Faulk?
Well, I think, you know, he's definitely an impact player and a guy that their offenses will be centered around when he's on the field. Faulk was a guy that was out there on every play. Not sure that that'll be Reggie's role. I don't know, but... Mm-hmm. You know, we'll definitely have to have a plan for where he is. And I'm sure they'll put him in different locations in the backfield, out of the backfield, and so forth. And maybe the Wildcat with him. Who knows?
I'm sorry about that, Glenn. I just wanted to go back to week one for a second. I remember one of the great stats in NFL history I love about Tom Landry. He had 20 straight winning seasons, and 18 of them they made the playoffs. So I looked to see what his record was in game one of the year.
Pretty good.
19-1. On opening day, the only loss to the Steelers in 1983. So I guess to do that, you got to have good players, but you also have to know what you're doing in terms of planning. When do you start planning for week one? It's pretty, can you tell people it's probably a lot earlier than people think?
Well, in the off season, you go through and do your off season scouting reports, and on probably your first 5, 6, 7, 8 opponents, might be halfway through the year, especially if it's a team that you haven't played before. Or a team that has a new head coach or a new coordinator. So you break down all the film from last year, from 2010. So that's in the books. There's no point in waiting to do that. It's not going to change. So you can take care of that, and then you look at the preseason games. And, you know, we see the preseason games every week when they come in. So a day after the games are played, we get our you know, Miami's game and the Chargers after that, and Buffalo after that, and right on down the line. So we'll look at those games through preseason, partially to look at the personnel, but also to look at just what those teams are doing. And so it's kind of a work in progress. You keep up on it.
19-1.
And that's pretty impressive.
And that's crazy, isn't it?
It's preparation.
Pretty good, yeah.
We were talking to Vince about the Heat down in Miami. He obviously played there in college. You look at the Dolphins. The Dolphins have had a very good track record over the years of the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Obviously, it's an advantage. Do you do anything different here? Do you practice in the bubble? Do you put the heat up at about 120 degrees, make it a sauna in there for them? Do you change anything, Bill?
Well, not too much. I think we just have to... I mean, look, if you want to get used to the heat, put on a couple sweatshirts. I mean, that's really what you can do. I don't think, you know, turning the heat up in the indoor facility is no different than just putting on more clothes. And if you want to feel the heat, then just sweat more.
It might even be psychological. So you may be playing right into the player's hands if you sit there and start, you know, talking about it excessively, right? Are you talking about the heat? I mean, it's a factor, but if it gets it into their head that the heat may make a difference in the game, then maybe they start thinking that way.
Yeah, well, Glenn, I think that most of the players on our team, most of them come from down there anyway. We got a lot of guys from, you know, Georgia, Louisiana, Florida, Tennessee, Texas. It's hot in all those places, so they've been through it before. It isn't like it's, you know, something that a lot of them aren't used to. So, and we've had our warm days out here in training camp, so do the best we can with it. I mean, it'll be the same for both teams playing at night. That's about what we played. That was the Tampa game, 7 o'clock, 7:30, whatever the Tampa game was. Yeah. So, you know, that was a warm night with good humidity. So,
Bill, player, a lot of people. I don't know. He's burst onto the scene a little bit. Cameron Wake, outside linebacker, defensive end for the Dolphins. And you talk about him as a player and the challenges he presents.
You know, Cameron's career took a little different tack going up to Canada and then coming down to Miami. Coached him last year out at the Pro Bowl. And, you know, he's a hardworking guy. He's really gotten a lot out of himself. I mean, he's kind of a, I don't want to say a self-made player, but he's worked very hard to have the success that he's had, and you know, he's got some length. He has a really good motor. He's an instinctive player, and you know, he's just continued to make plays and be productive. I don't think he would, you know, necessarily be the top test athlete, you know, at Indianapolis or that type of thing, but he's a good football player.
They move him around all over the place just to find the best matchup, those type of things, or they leave him on one side?
Generally speaking, he's on our offensive right side. And then in passing situations, Jason Taylor comes in on the left, although they have used some with Jason Taylor moving him around, and they could definitely do it with Wake and then Koamisi on early downs. Mm-hmm. And Jason Taylor on our left for the most part, but again, I'm sure that they'll have a different way to configure that at some point, but that's generally where they play.
Yeah, Chad Henne has had a good preseason. Yeah. You know, he's shown some development with Brian Daboll at offensive coordinator, especially, you know, throwing down the field a little bit longer. He's got, I don't know, 94 rating, completed 64% of his passes this preseason, starting to throw the ball down the field a little bit. Talk about his development, what you see from Chad Henne.
Well, I think Chad's a very talented player, has some mobility in the pocket, a good arm, get the ball down the field. And there's certainly been a new emphasis on that, or a renewed emphasis on that, with the Dolphins about throwing the ball deep. They drafted Gates, who's, you know, one of the fastest players in the draft this year coming out.
Clyde Gates, yeah.
Hartline is, you know, has big-time speed, you know, and so they've got good speed on the field at the receiver position, in addition to Reggie Bush coming out of the backfield, and he's a dynamic player as well. So, but they're throwing it down there more, and, mm-hmm. and they get one-on-one, and they're looking to put it down the field. Gates had a big catch in the last preseason game, about 45 yards, so whatever it was. So they're doing more of that than they did in the past, taking shots.
Is this a game emphasis where you're telling your cornerbacks they're just gonna the ball's gonna be up there, and it's gonna be you and the receiver, and it's about who's making the play on the ball?
Well, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that, especially after the Detroit game, you know, where we had several
Johnson
thrown up there on us. That you know, I'm sure they'll be excited to see that and challenge us there too. So I don't think there's any doubt that'll be part of it. And Brian did part of that. He did some of that at Cleveland as well. So you know, I'm sure we'll be ready for that, those deep balls.
Let's talk about your safeties as a group for a second. I mean, the last couple of weeks, the Patriots have moved on from Brandon Merriweather and James Sanders, and some people would be surprised, especially by Merriweather, first-round pick. What did you see from your safeties to be able to make those decisions with Sanders and Merriweather?
Well, I think, you know, we have a group of young players there, and, you know, they're all involved in the kicking game as well. You know, Patrick Chung is at a solid, you know, training camp and in his third year here. And, you know, Josh Bear is a guy we didn't get to work with last year, but, you know, he's you know, I think a good solid player as well. And of course, Sergio Brown has just done nothing but improve in the year and a half that he's been here. And James Ahedebo has played for us defensively, played in the league defensively, and has been a strong kicking game player for the Jets. So that's what that group is. And you know, I think we feel like that's the best group for our team.
Bill, you've got a new number 54 in the house. He's okay with it. It's all right.
He's not okay with it. He's been stopping around here.
Well,
all
he was
day.
Hoping very it would upset. Be a linebacker. It turned out to be a guard, but he's going to
stretch the jersey more than I did.
It's all right. He's going to have to deal with that.
It's time.
A terrific, terrific player. Obviously, he's got great credentials. How quickly can he get up to speed, and can you put him in a significant role on Monday night and expect that you'll be okay, considering that he hasn't worked that much with the rest of your offensive line?
Well, we'll see this week in practice, Glenn. That's a good question. I'm not sure that we know the answer to that. But Brian's a smart guy. I think he learns well. Of course, when Charlie Weiss went out there last year and Todd Haley with the background in Charlie's system from when he was with the Jets and so forth, I think the terminology and a lot of the concepts and all carry over from Kansas City to here. I mean, there's obviously differences, but a lot of the core terminology and concepts are the same. So I think that'll help the learning process. But, again, Waters is a smart guy. I think that he'll learn. You know, he'll work hard. He'll try to learn quickly. And we'll just see how it goes.
You talk about just back to the construction of the roster for a second. I know in 2009 and 2010 you had two quarterbacks. This year you have three quarterbacks. Is that just, hey, we got three quarterbacks that we like, or is that a philosophical thing in terms of how many quarterbacks you're going to keep?
No, I think we have three quarterbacks that we have confidence in playing.
And then in previous years, you had two guys. You would have gone with a third guy if that guy had been there. You're not trying to invent a guy, trying to invent a quarterback. Was it philosophy in 2009, 2010 to go with two?
No, I'd say that it really comes down to how you evaluate your players and how you evaluate your team. And when you look at those 53 players, every year you're going to be a little heavier in one position and a little lighter in another. And then in the next year, that may change relative to quarterbacks, tight ends, offensive linemen, defensive backs, whatever it happens to be. So I think that's really pretty common. And of course, the discussions you get into on your roster decisions are, do we keep the right number of guys for a certain position, or do we keep a better player at another position? And that's, you know, it comes down to keeping good football players and keeping talent. But you have to have a certain number of guys to play the game. So, you know, you need so many offensive linemen, you need so many receivers, you need so many running backs. So you have to fill out those numbers. But when you get into a situation where you feel like you have a player of quality that you want to keep on the roster, even though it's an extra player, then you can do that. There's just a cost to doing it at some other position. And again, usually that's pretty common that you'll have a player or two like that. It may not be at the same position every year.
Bill, Vince talked about the shuffling the Miami's done a little bit on the offensive line, bumping Carey from right tackle, I believe, down to right guard, adding Colombo, and they've got a young kid in Pouncey. It looks like a solid offensive line that they have there.
Well, they're real big other than Pouncey. I mean, Pouncey's a 305 pounder, kind of like his brother, but Carey's big, Colombo's big, Incognito, and of course Jake Long. So they're a big physical group. Tony likes to run the ball.
Yeah.
Drafted a back.
Thomas,
drafted Daniel. Back high, and so I'm sure that they'll test us out in the running game, but it's a big group and they're a physical group.
A lot of comparisons are always going to go between the Pouncey brothers. You see any similarity, Sarah Lee B. Marquise?
Yeah, they look
a
lot. Yeah, they look alike.
And all that stuff, playing ability.
You walk right into that one. I can see that.
I think there's some similarities. Sure, I mean, of course they play the same position. They have, I think, a similar playing style. Sure.
His brother was damn good in his first year. There's no question about that.
Yeah. They played right next to each other at Florida, and they were 55, 56. You kind of have to look carefully as to which one's which. They both look pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Final question. Experienced players probably don't have a problem opening day, playing on the road, playing on Monday night. The younger players, do you worry sometimes about younger players that you add all three of those things, that it might be a little overwhelming for some of them? Monday night's a little bit different.
Well, sure it is. Yeah. Well, I think that's part of the development of your team every year. You face different challenges, whether it's on the field, off the field, or things that happen during the week leading up to a game, injuries, weather conditions. I mean, there's a thousand of them. And everybody's got something that happens during the course of the year. So, you know, how your team's able to deal with those situations, how they're able to react to them and prepare for the game and perform in whatever it is, a long week, a short week, on the road, at night, in the middle of the day, different, so forth. That's just part of your team, being able to handle those things. And every team goes through it sooner or later. And, these are our challenges for this week. Next week we'll be dealing with a short week, playing a team that's not in our division, and it'll just go on from there. So I think that's just part of it. I don't think it's – I mean, I'm not saying it's a big deal. It is a big deal, but there's a challenge every week.
All right, Bill. Have a great season.
Okay,
great
Glenn,
Monday night
you.
Down in Miami.
Good luck. All right.
Good luck,
Bill. Thanks.
We'll do it next Tuesday.
All right. Thanks, Teddy, Michael.
Tuesday.
Glenn, thank you.
By the way, we're moving out of here next week. We're moving back.
Oh, you're moving up, huh?
Oh, no. Well, we may not be. I shouldn't speak too early. Bill Belichick right here on the Big